Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Scheduled to join us shortly is Dan Graziano from ESPN. Of course, the number one story here throughout training camp, throughout the offseason, has been Terry McLaurin. And there really hasn't been any movement, it seems, in weeks.
No, people were kind of reading into it a little bit a couple days ago when Adam and Terry were kind of talking on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's been some more chatter behind the scenes, but as far as we could tell, no movement.
Right.
No, and I'm telling you, I agree with what we're going to talk about later, that I don't think Adam Peters is going to budge that much because mm-hmm. he's kind of got all the leverage.
And one thing we haven't talked enough about, too, is one of the first moves they made early on was when they hired Eugene Shen, the analytics guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in Kime's article, they talked about some of the analytics of receivers at his age.
Yeah, but there are receivers
steadfast.
That have been over 30, like Steve Smith. There are receivers that have been very productive.
Sure.
So you know, right, got
we,
that
yeah, we
too.
Went through those guys. Yeah.
Dan Graziano joins us right now from ESPN NFL Insider. Hey, Dan.
Hi, guys.
What's up, Dan?
Your read on this Terry McLaurin thing? It's been kind of the big story here for the Commanders throughout the offseason, and it doesn't seem like from afar that there's been much movement.
It doesn't. No, I mean, I was there a couple of weeks ago. I saw him come out at the end of practice and sign the autographs, and they chanted his name and everything. It's quite a scene, but no, both sides seem dug in. And I think you guys are just talking about, you know, how the organization is data-driven, analytics-driven at this point with Josh Harris at the top. And I think, you know, there have been productive wide receivers after 30, yeah, but, like, they're not, you know, you're not betting on the outlier. So you're saying, like, yeah, we love you. We think there's a good number. The number you have in mind is too much for us, especially when you talk about guaranteeing money out in future years, mm-hmm. you know, past the age of 30. So he's got $20 million coming this year if he does nothing, right? So, like, if his worst-case scenario is, all right, I'll play for 20, and, you know, we'll do this again next year when I'm a free agent. I'll bet on myself, then that's one possible outcome for sure. But I don't know. I mean, if he wants over 30 a year, then I'm just not sure, based on anything I've heard, that the Commanders are ready to go there.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're anywhere near ready to go there. I just don't even know if they're that steadfast in their belief what's going to make them sort of budge at all. They've got all the leverage. Terry's not going to sit out. He's not stupid. He's not going to let his, you know, so why not just, I mean, I hate it. I'm always pro player, but from their perspective, I just don't see them budging, like a dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see it.
Right. And so, like, you know, you can obviously see both sides. He's been the good soldier there. But, like, unfortunately, the reality is, like, teams don't want to pay you for what you've already done. They want to pay you for what you're going to do while they're paying you, right?
Yeah.
So they're looking ahead and saying the odds, all our data is telling us that this isn't the right move to go to those kinds of numbers for a receiver over 30. So, yeah, that's not going to change. Like, they're not going to, like, wake up and suddenly get, like, a whole big bunch of new data that says, oh, wow, we were wrong. Like, we really should be paying this. So
right.
Someone's position is going to have to change. And, look, 3 weeks to go, he knows the offense. He's there. He's watching film with Jaden Daniels. Like, it's not, you know, if they get signed here in the next week or so, it's not a complete disaster. But, you know, it's the one thing. There's so many good vibes around that. You guys imagine never saying that. There's so many good vibes around that organization right now. And this is the one thing that's sort of hanging over it that cuts against that.
What should make of? So I'm just looking at this from a fan perspective, right? I don't have a professional, like, I'm not there every day. From afar, I've been so excited for this season. But, you know, with the Terry thing hanging over him, all the reports have been that the defense has been way ahead of the offense. You know, clearly there's an obvious hole at receiver and depth there. The offense is just not the same without him. No, that could just be normal training camp stuff. But then when I start looking at the schedule, Dan, and then I start looking at all the one, you know, possession games we won last year, which we know we're not going to go like 6-for-6 in one possession games and Hail Mary stuff. You know what I mean?
I start getting
nervous.
So, of course. I mean, this is for real. You're not sneaking up on anybody this time.
Yeah.
People are going to be ready. So, yeah, look, when they don't have, and the day I was there, McLaurin obviously wasn't out there. Noah Brown wasn't out there. You're like, man, this is going to be at or behind the line of scrimmage throws to Debo and Zach Ertz, and that's what they got. Like, maybe Eckler, right? So that's not going to work. They're gonna need to expand that out. And I think the rookie tackle, Connerly, I think they feel like he's coming along. But, like, is he going to be ready to start day one? There are definitely some questions. Is there enough on the edge on defense? Like, do they have enough edge rush? There are definitely some questions after a team that I think, you know, again, like, it's not – I don't think it's any kind of insult to say they probably overachieved last year. I think that's a compliment to the young quarterback, to the coaching staff, and I think, you know, now that they've been through that and done that, it's like the old cliche about how do you handle success, and that's a big next step. Fortunately, I mean, they have the right people in positions of leadership, right? Dan Quinn's been through this. He went to the Super Bowl in his second year as head coach of the Falcons. So, like, there's definitely a plan. But roster-wise, I do think you're right to kind of look and say there's some questions that need to be answered.
Hey, Dan, I know you've been covering the Rashee Rice deal. Wide receiver for the Chiefs. Now, his career has been a disaster. I mean, he was good in his rookie year. They drafted him in the second round a few years ago and had a good rookie year, but then he gets hurt last year, misses basically the entire year, and then he's in a car accident where he caused multiple injuries in the offseason. So he is going to – I guess there's an NFL hearing, a disciplinary hearing on September 30th in New York. What do you think is going to happen there? He can play for the first 4 weeks until the hearing, I believe, and then will he get suspended for the rest of the year, you think?
So that's the question, right? So, like, what generally happens here is these guys, knowing discipline is coming, knowing there's a likely personal conduct policy violation, what they'll do is they'll get together with their agent and the union, and they'll talk to the league about, like, what should it be? Like, what should the suspension or fine or both, what should that be? And they'll generally negotiate it. And then it doesn't get to a hearing. But what happened here is they couldn't come to agreement on what the proper discipline should be. So the player said, all right, I'll take my chances. Let's go to a hearing. And the hearing officer, who's Sue L. Robinson, who oversaw the Deshaun Watson case 3 years ago, you know, September 30th is when she could do it. So, yes, he can play in the meantime. I guess it's possible they could go back and talk again and come up with an agreement, but it sounds like they're ready to go to a hearing. So if you look back at the timeline from Deshaun Watson, it took her about a month to issue a ruling after that hearing. And then the NFL appealed it because they didn't think the suspension she proposed was long enough, and then they ultimately negotiated. So it was really almost 2 months after that hearing before there was a resolution on Deshaun's suspension. Now, obviously, different situation. But it gives you some sense of this. What we are is, instead of accepting a suspension to start the season of however, whatever length, you now have to wonder when the suspension is coming, how long it's going to be, is it going to hang over the back half of your season? Could it extend into the postseason?
Right.
I think this whole thing just brings up a lot more uncertainty for the Chiefs as opposed to finding agreement on a settlement and getting this out of the way.
Talking to Dan Graziano, NFL insider for ESPN. I see you on Get Up most mornings, and Shedeur Sanders is always a topic.
A little bit. What is
your read on what's going to happen there in Cleveland? I mean, Flacco's going to start early. How do you see the season playing out?
They got to figure out what they have, right? And you know what Flacco is. So, like, look, you never know about a season. Could the Browns start 4-0 and shock everybody and they're like contend and Flacco's found the fountain of youth and everything looks great? You know, sure. But the more likely outcome here is obviously that that doesn't happen and that they have to make a change at quarterback at some point, as most teams do in the course of the season. And if that happens, then, you know, you have to find out what you have in the young guys. And I think that's where Shedeur comes in the picture, Dylan Gabriel comes in the picture, and the fact that they have two first-round picks in next year's draft weighs very heavily in all this, because, you know, are you going to need to use those to get a quarterback, or do you already have one? And you have to know that answer by the time you get to next year's draft. So I think you're going to see a season where a lot of different guys play quarterback for the Browns. And if Shedeur Sanders is healthy and shows them more of what he showed them in that first preseason game, I certainly think there's a chance he ends up being one of them.
So we got to see a little bit of Travis Hunter play both sides of the football. What are your expectations for him moving forward to the regular season? More receiver, more corner, or both?
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I went to that camp as well and talked to their people about what the plans are. And they're really figuring it all out, you know, what they can give him on both sides of the ball. That's kind of what they're using this offseason and training camp for. So, they intend to play him both ways. And I honestly think, guys, it could be a situation where the plan changes week to week depending on their own injury situation, depending on the matchup. Like, you know, if we're playing the Bengals, do we need more help at cornerback this week, right? And should we give him more cornerback work in practice as a result? And then maybe next week we need more help at wide receiver, you know. So I think that's their ideal situation, is for him to show proficiency at both at a level that enables them to kind of move him around, or at the very least, put it in the other team's head while that team is practicing and getting ready to play them in the course of the week. They're very excited about him. They talk about how he doesn't get tired, but they have to, you know, they have to manage him and make sure he doesn't wear down and you get beat up too badly. So they're figuring all that out. They give him defense in some practices, offense in some practices, both in some practices, and it's a lot of fun for him and for them to think about what this can be. Actually, I think it's one of the cooler stories just as a neutral fan to watch and see how this is going to play out.
Talking to Dan Graziano, NFL insider for ESPN. Hey, how concerned do you think Sean McVay is about this Matt Stafford back injury? He hasn't practiced. He hasn't practiced at all. He threw on the side last week about 70 passes, and then McVay said, yeah, his back didn't respond very well. He's going to, yeah. I guess he's going to work out tomorrow morning at practice and throw on the side. How concerned do you think they are about this? This is serious.
Yeah, I think, you know, more than they were last week, because, like, you just look at it, like, last week the plan was for him to throw before the game and then practice on Monday, and he threw before the game and he still hasn't practiced, and it's a week later. So now they're telling us the exact same stuff they told us last week, right? He'll work out on Saturday and then hopefully we'll get him into practice next week. So we're at a point now where they have this plan and have had this plan for getting him ready to go, and they've had confidence in it based on the caliber of their people and their history of getting players ready to go in similar situations. But his back is not abiding by the plan. So they have to adjust it. So here we are 3 weeks out, still hasn't practiced in camp. He's Matthew Stafford. He knows the offense. He's won a Super Bowl in this offense. If his back feels better next week and he gets into practice, I think they feel pretty good about him being ready to play week one and about their chances this year. But if we're sitting here next Friday and they're saying the exact same stuff, well, we'll work him out tomorrow and hopefully he'll be ready. It gets more alarming by the week. He's a 37-year-old player with a lot of wear and tear on his body, and I think it's fair to start to be concerned. How concerned Sean McVay is, Sean's a pretty open book in these press conferences. You can kind of tell, but I think that concern level rises with each day they don't see him out there.
Dan, real quick, the last couple seasons, there have been teams that have kind of come out of nowhere and made a run into the playoffs. Last year, it was the Commanders. The year before that, it was the Texans. Do you have a team this year that might sneak up on everybody and really have a big turnaround?
Out of nowhere, like a team that, you know, like the 49ers don't count, right?
Cause they no, were, you can't count the Niners.
And they fell apart due to injuries, right? I'm curious if Carolina did enough on defense, like, and if the quarterback's a real thing. Like, if Bryce Young is going to be the guy he was last December in a division like that, that's a team I wouldn't be surprised to. I wouldn't be totally shocked to see them make at least a little bit of noise. So there's an off the radar one for you.
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
All right, Dan, appreciate the time. Have a good show coming up on ESPN. Get up.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Yep. You too.
Dan Graziano, ESPN.
I root for Bryce Young. He seemed like a nice kid, like,
yeah,
right? I
remember great kid.
Seeing him being interviewed, you know, around the draft and everything. And
great kid.
Just seemed like a great kid, so I root for him.
Yeah.
Love to see him do well.
And he played better in the second half of the season. Remember, he got benched, and then he came back, and he was playing much better.
Yep.
You just wonder about the size, but there have been guys his
size
who have succeeded.
Not that worried about the size, actually. Just you know.
It kind of comes down to.
You need to protect him.
Protecting him, and then
some guys open.
And then put some guys around him that can get open. And they drafted McMillan, Tet McMillan. So he's got a true number one receiver, although he's a rookie. But he's gonna be really good.
I mean, I guess I worry about size in terms of the hits, but I don't worry about it in terms of like being able to see the field. You know, I don't know which one you're referring to. If you mean like
getting mean seeing the field.
Yeah, I think he's been doing that his whole life. If you can't see the field, then it's over. Then it won't work. I feel like he could do that.
Last three games of the season, he had three touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah.
That was against Arizona, Tampa, and Atlanta down the stretch.
And they're saying he's looked good in camp. I mean, I think he looked good in the first. And
didn't the head coach say at some point?
Canales.
Yeah, Canales. Didn't he say that either he regretted benching him or he made a mistake or that there was some sort of controversy about it. I mean, obviously, Bryce Young didn't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember reading some comments about it.
I think he did say that.
There was something along those lines.
Yep.
A little bit later this hour, we have our Junkies Weekend Parlay. Mo Egger, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals, he'll jump on at 8:45 as we get into preseason game number 2 for the Washington Commanders on Monday Night Football. They take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Coming up next, we'll hear what Yahoo's Charles Robinson said about Adam Peters and maybe why this negotiation with Terry McLaurin is taking so long. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's talking about Terry McLaurin. And Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has chimed in with his thoughts. We have some audio. He's talking about Adam Peters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people here loved what Adam Peters did in year one. In free agency, he obviously brought in a bunch of vets like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz and Austin Eckler, and that all worked out. Drafted Jaden Daniels, Mike Sanestrill, seemed to hit there. People love Adam Peters, but they don't necessarily know what he is like as a negotiator.
Right. Go ahead, play the clip, then I'll give you a comment.
I had one executive when I was kind of, you know, going through my paces, and I reached out to somebody who knew Adam Peters really well, and I said, you know, what do you think of this situation? And he said, I think people are going to find out a lot about Adam Peters right now because I do not like negotiating with him. Hmm. He has an edge to him that people, I think, don't necessarily understand. And they're going to see that now in this negotiation. And I think they have in some respects because Adam Peters has been pretty clear. He's not going to budge.
Yeah. And he clarified later because this kind of went viral. And he said the executive wasn't meaning that as a negative. It was like a compliment. Like, this guy's got an edge to him. And I think what he's referring to is, every time you publicly see Adam Peters, and I know it struck me the very first time I saw him, and you're like, he's so soft-spoken. It almost seems like fake. Like, he's so, like, I don't mean it in a negative way, but he's a very soft-spoken, nice guy, very respectful, right? Got a little smile to him. But that's not who Terry and his agent are dealing with. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with a guy who very solid beliefs, probably very strong-minded. And sure, he puts on this nice, soft-spoken guy
face to the media.
Yeah. But that's not who's, you know, giving the orders to whoever's doing the negotiating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he's got a lot more of a core to him than this kind of like, really, really soft-spoken guy that we see.
I've also said this before. He's not the lead negotiator, according to the stories that I've read. Keim really pointed out in the article he had on ESPN.com a couple days ago, and it made sense that Eugene Shen, who was one of Josh Harris's first hires, mm-hmm. before he even could whack Ron Rivera, mm-hmm. he brought in Shen. And Shen, remember, right in the first week, and maybe this would have happened before they hired Shen, they ended up trading Chase Young and trading mm-hmm. Montez Sweat. It was like, boom, boom. Boom. Yeah. And so he's an analytics guy. Yeah. So you got this analytics guy, then you got a negotiator, and then you've got Adam Peters, and I get it. He's in charge. He's the general manager, but they have a philosophy, and Adam Peters may be part of it, and he may be really sticking to it. Like, I was thinking about this. McLaurin's side is almost more based on emotion, right?
Sure.
And then the commander side is just the numbers.
But and I would also
the emotional argument can win in particular, if there's desperation, if they see that on the field they desperately need him, then they may overpay him.
Yeah, and if there was like fan uproar that was outrageous or something, but there hasn't really been that. It's kind of been kind of 50-50. Everybody wants Terry, but I've actually been surprised at how kind of neutral overall the fans have been on the deal.
As for other teams, Charles Robinson weighed in that, sure, teams want Terry, but are they willing to pay him what he wants and what the Commanders aren't willing to pay him?
Part of the variables in this, no other team wants to pay Terry McLaurin $30-plus million a season either. They just don't. And that's no, I don't mean this as like disrespecting him at all. He's a very, very good receiver. It's just the economics at that position have created this tier, this top tier at $35 to $40 million that is wreaking havoc because everyone's trying to figure out who's in that next tier, how big is that next tier, and then who kind of gets pushed down to a third tier.
Right. All I would say to that, again, we went through this whole thing yesterday, is that there are outliers, admittedly, but there are receivers that have played well into their 30s that have been super-duper productive. Now, most of them tend to be Hall of Famers. That's fine. But this whole idea that it's a fact that at 31, you fall into a pit, it's not a fact. It's a trend, and it's probably much more likely than not, but it's not a fact. And there is a possibility, I was just saying this to defend Terry, that he could be very productive in his 31st, 32nd, and maybe even 33rd year, like a guy like Steve Smith.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to necessarily say like some of these tanks. You know, like, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald was a tank. You know, Andre Johnson, who had 31 and 32
Calvin Johnson.
Years, those guys are tanks. But there are some guys that are more in that vein that have been super successful. So I would make that argument if I was Buddy Baker. I'm sure they do. But I just kind of get a little bit irritated when, you know, people just say it's a given he's going to fall off a cliff. He might.
I don't think he's going to fall off a cliff. I think he plays younger than his age.
Yeah.
And he's been very fortunate he hasn't had any serious injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Adam Peters, yeah, he's dug in, and he's probably very tough to deal with when it comes to money and math. But I think Adam Peters knows that we need Terry.
I feel like we need him more than ever. Like
they need him.
I don't feel like camp's going great for the offense.
It's not, and... And even though Adam Peters is looking at 3, 4, 5 years down the road, if he's even here, I assume he would be. But he knows they need Terry, or they need Terry to win games and to possibly get to the playoffs again.
Well, like Graziano,
he doesn't want to go into Week One without Terry.
I mean, Graziano said in really in sort of the most blunt terms, but I think it's true. Like, it's all got to be line of scrimmage or just like 2 yard passes if you don't have a stretch the field guy that other teams respect.
Yeah.
Now I did think it was interesting that they pointed out that Jalen Lane ran some outside routes in this last Bergen and Gold thing.
And he can move.
Because he can stretch the field. They're trying all, you know, they signed a receiver yesterday, got a guy that Peters knows. I don't think he's a stretch the field guy. But, I don't think it's just crazy anxiety riddle DB to throw out there that there are some issues with the offense at this point. Not having Terry on the field. It's kind of affecting everything.
He's been out for, if I'm doing the math right, 23 days. That's 23 days missed of practice. I know he's been working out with JD in the bubble, but that's not the same.
When you're not going against Lattimore. You're not going to be as sharp as the guys that are grinding every day for hours and hours and hours, you know, even if they're not killing each other.
Yep.
And I thought this was going to get done.
A long time ago.
So did I.
Drabby, you were right. You said this is going to hang over their heads through training camp. You were right. I was wrong on that. I thought this deal would have been done.
I thought it would have been done by now.
And maybe it'll get done this weekend.
Right? I bet July 6th. That seems laughable at this point.
I know. I bet August 6th, and it's not even close. But they still do need each other, and I'm just hoping that they're going to come to an agreement sometime very soon. Maybe before the third preseason game. You're not going to see him play in the preseason.
No.
But he needs to be out on the practice field.
I'm leaning towards EB's theory that he's just going to suck it up and play under contract.
Yeah.
And then, you know, next season it'll be an issue again, and maybe they franchise him, or maybe he signs a free agent deal.
I mean, honestly,
but how much practice did Ja'Marr Chase miss in the training camp? I don't think he missed this much.
No, I think he missed a couple days. If I
he didn't miss
he
a lot.
He wasn't holding in the whole time.
I don't think he was holding in the entire time.
Yeah,
maybe for the first week or so, but mm-hmm. I think he was out there for training camp for most of it.
See, the problem is, as soon as Terry starts practicing, I mean, the Commanders don't feel like there's much urgency now. There's zero urgency once he starts practicing, right? They're like, oh, he's good. He's on the field. We'll worry about that later. Right now, he has a little bit, like the teeniest bit of leverage. As soon as he starts practice, it's all over, and for sure, you know what I mean? They're not going to reward him and just like keep talking in good faith if he's practicing. Like, they're not. I don't care what they say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know
that'd be my guess.
How that would work.
That'd be my guess because they're so dug in.
But I would just be concerned as a fan if Terry misses all of training camp. And I know he's a professional and he's great athlete.
He'll be as he'll be as ready as he can be alone.
I still think he's going to start off slow if he's not practicing with the team.
It's going
to
be.
I wouldn't expect him to just go out firing out of the gates, catching 7, 8 balls, 9 balls for 90 yards and a touchdown.
Maybe he could do it, but it's going to be tough.
I think that would be difficult.
I'd be more worried about injury,
of course.
Well, it's going to be an easy blame.
He could easily, tear a groin or a hamstring.
100%. And that could have happened anyway.
Right.
But that'll be the first thing they blame with the first nick he has.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I would be concerned if he's not out there.
Especially in an explosive position like wide receiver or running back. It's, that's with each day he's holding out, the odds don't improve. Yeah. They get worse for injuries. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
You hear these players, especially the veterans, talk about training camp, and the veterans hate training camp. I get it, but they do understand how important it is to be out there getting the reps with the guys you're going to be playing with on Sunday.
And you gotta get your body ready.
You gotta get the body ready, man.
There's nothing like the adrenaline.
You just can't throw it in the deep end of the pool and think everything's going to be okay.
No, yeah. And he can run all the routes with Jaden, which is encouraging. It's not the same adrenaline as when you got it going against guys and like real guys.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
I'm reading right now, though, maybe Chase missed more time than we think. This is an article. I was trying to pinpoint the exact date, but it said Chase skipped practice and ended his holdout in late August.
I thought he was out there practicing, but
I think
maybe, and he had a great year.
I think it's pretty obvious that's what's going to happen because Terry is dug in.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want, and he thinks he's worth something, and God bless him. He thinks he's worth something and don't want to accept less.
Yeah.
And he probably thinks, much as I don't want to risk it, I'll just have to prove, and I'll get it next year.
When we talk to Mo Egger, we can, he's a Cincinnati insider. We can ask him about the Chase deal. But anyway, getting just back to Terry.
He actually didn't start practicing until September 5th, from what I'm reading right here.
Yeah, he signed right before week one started, or he reported right before week one started.
Yeah, but I kind of remembered it like you. I guess we both
thought he was out there, but maybe he was just out there holding
in.
Yeah.
And I circle back to this all the time. Distinctly remember Ja'Marr Chase saying after the season when they missed the playoffs, saying the contract hold in, hold out, whatever you want to call it, was a weight on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
And I would be afraid if the Commanders have the same kind of bad juju, bad vibes, black cloud.
But he also had a slow start to the season too. Ja'Marr Chase. Took him a couple games to get going.
Yeah.
Look, listen, I'm telling you, I have anxiety about the beginning. And I'll tell you what, I watched Dan Quinn's presser yesterday. Uh-huh. And John, they always give the senior reporter the first question. And Keim got the first question, as he always
is
does.
Is that on
typically.
Audio? I'd love to hear it.
And Keim tried to ask him a question about Terry. And
we saw Terry out there on the sidelines the other day, not asking you for an update on all that. But I am curious, how good was it for you guys to have him out there on the sidelines? And two, then as you get close to the regular season, how do you kind of balance what's going on with him, but also needing to get him ready for the regular season, assuming he's on?
It certainly sounds like an update to me, John, but we'll work ourselves through it. Yeah, I got you. Semantics. It was nice to have all the guys here. A lot of the guys did their rehab runs.
So I wish you could see his look.
Mm-hmm.
Dan was pissed.
Well, remember a couple weeks ago,
Dan didn't like the question, and who cares? Like, John's doing it, asking his question, he's got to do his job. But the point is it's reaching a point where people are getting frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember a couple people weeks ago, Quinn said, I'll give you an update when there's an update.
Yeah. Well, of course. So he doesn't want to deal with the Terry question.
He doesn't want to talk
about
it.
But as they're getting, like, he's not stupid. It's definitely, like, the offense is lagging behind. And, you know, he didn't want to talk about it. It's definitely an issue. The Terry McLaurin holdout is an issue, as much as I don't want it to be. As much as I know he's going to be there in week one, it's an issue.
And it's an issue for all these other teams that are dealing with the same thing.
Yeah.
With, you know, Micah and Hendrickson, all these guys.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's time for our Junkies Weekend Parlay. A little bit later in the show, as we mentioned, Mo Egger from Cincinnati will join us. We'll get an update from him. Of course, Commanders play the Bengals on Monday night in their second preseason game. We're the Junkies, coming right back. Welcome back, Junkies. Coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. When you hear the weekend, that means it's time for our Junkies Weekend Parlay. Jason's not here to spin the wheel, so I'll step up until he gets back. There he is.
Spin it.
Don't go to me. All right. I think I missed my last one.
Who should we start with? Bish Bucks.
Let's start with
you know,
Mike
market.
Moore.
He's gonna, you know he's going to do UFC. 100%. Right,
let's go with Mike Moore, UFC. What's going on in UFC this weekend?
We got a big-time pay-per-view up in Chicago. Hamzat Chimaev against Dricus du Plessis for the middleweight title. Give me Hamzat to win by submission or decision. Minus 135. Hamzat's undefeated. Dricus hasn't lost. He's the champion. Hasn't lost since 2019. But both these guys are extremely well-rounded. Both have great wrestling, great stand-up. So I could see it really going anywhere in terms of, like, you know, where the fight plays out at. But I think Hamzat just has the tenacity, the DDP, hasn't fought before. He's kind of like dubbed the chosen one a couple years ago, but he's just been battling like sickness and stuff. But now he finally gets his title fight tomorrow night, and this will be a surefire banger. But Hamzat, submission or decision?
Submission or decision. And what are the odds again?
Minus 135.
All right, you're in.
All right, stay back there, Matt Cahill. By the way, is anybody putting this into their account?
You. I will have to do that. I'll do that today.
All right. Just don't have the payout. All right, go ahead.
All right, we're going to head to Ohio, the Cincinnati Masters. This is one of the best tennis tournaments in the country, for sure. I mean, it's a Masters 1000 level tournament, so all the big stars are there. And first off, there's a really cool story about a qualifier who is now in the semifinals. He's playing center. A complete unknown guy who has no agent, no sponsors, nothing. Basically, a guy off the street is in the semifinals of this tournament.
How did he do it? Where did he play in college? I don't know.
He won 2 qualifying matches just to get into this tournament.
Yeah.
Oh, and wow. He's smoking everybody.
He had
no
ranking points?
I think he's 140th in the world or something like that.
That's pretty good.
I mean,
that's incredible.
But you're playing in challenger level tournaments. You're not playing in...
No, I understood, but it's still 140 in the world. It's very high. I mean, you know, there are people ranked in the thousands.
It would be like Johnny Davis being, you know, in the final of a 1-on-1 tournament or something against LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Zverev versus Ben Shelton tonight. Shelton's been on the court a lot. I mean, he plays all the time, and Zverev is so good, has so much precision from the baseline. I think Zverev's going to win this in 2 sets today at minus 118. They've played 3 times, I think, this year. Each time it's been competitive and gone long. I just don't see it happening for Shelton tonight. I just think he's going to be worn out, and Zverev is playing so well. So we'll go Alexander Zverev minus 1.5 sets. That means he's going to win 2-0. All right.
You're in. I'll post this up at Junks Radio.
All right. Matt Myers, what you got?
All right. Kelsey Plum has been on a heater ever since she kicked the sex toy off the court.
Mm-hmm.
She's dropped 20 and then 26. They got a matchup. The Spark have a matchup against the Dallas Wings. So it's Plum against Beckers. Give me Plum over 25 plus points.
Damn.
That's plus 280.
She's been on fire, huh?
Last 2 games. Ever since she kicked the green thingy off the court.
All right, you're in. All right, I'm going to stay in Cincinnati, but not on the tennis court, on the baseball field. The Milwaukee Brewers are playing the Cincinnati Reds. Milwaukee Brewers have been absolutely on fire for basically, I don't know, 2 months. They haven't lost in August. All right. The last time they lost the game was July 30th against the Cubs. But one of their hottest hitters is William Contreras, their catcher. In the month of August, in 47 at-bats, Contreras has 16 hits. That's a .340 clip. He's got four bombs and 14 RBIs. In his last five games, he's got 12 RBIs. All right, he's been absolutely on fire. I'm going to take William Contreras tonight against the Reds, hitter's ballpark, to have at least one RBI. It's plus +140 for the Brewers tonight against the Reds.
All right, one wrap, run batted in for Contreras.
Yep.
All right, I'm ready. Want me to get it?
Want me to get in there? Rock and roll.
I can't remember what I did last week. I think I did. I think I did somebody that hit a dinger, didn't hit. Oh no, no, no! You know what I did? I think I did two rushing touchdowns, and I got screwed.
Totally. Oh, two rushing touchdowns for the Commanders against the Pats.
Yes, I should have had it, and we got to the 1 yard line or whatever. All right, this week though, I am a little bit down on my guys, as you've noticed here over the last week or so. We play the Bengals. Preseason game. I'm not going to get crazy with it, but I just don't expect a lot from my boys. So let's just try to get this to get just a little bit of plus money. I'm going to take Cincinnati to beat my boys in this preseason game. Of course, it doesn't mean anything, but by a margin of by 1 to 13 points. Okay. I put it in, it fits.
All right.
So that's plus +115. So if the Bengals win by 14 or more, I'm a big loser. And if the Skins win, I'm a big loser.
Correct.
Okay. But the Bengals winning by a margin of 1 to 13, I think that's very likely. I think we kind of suck right now.
Okay.
And I don't have a lot of confidence.
All right. Well, we'll see what starters play.
And it's the preseason and it means nothing. So
yeah.
Let's see.
All right. You are in. All right, JP, that means you cap it.
Plus +115.
All right, I'm going to bookend Mike Marr's UFC play, and I'm going to go back to the UFC. I actually saw this guy fight in Miami. He was a big signing by the UFC, Michael Venom Page. He's got this little bit afterwards where he does a little hand signal like he's a cobra or something. He's fighting this guy, Jared Cannonier, who is 41 years old. Michael Page isn't a spring chicken. He's 38, but you know what? I'm going to take the 38-year-old via decision, and that is plus +120. Michael Page by the points.
All right, give us the recap.
So we've got two UFC. We've got Hazmat by submission or decision. That's minus -135. I just took Page, Michael Page by the points at plus +120. Drab has Zverev. Minus 1.5 sets, so he's got to win a straight setter. Valdez likes Kelsey Plum to score 25 points or more, and you like a William Contreras RBI.
Correct. At plus +140.
So we're not going to have the total?
Yeah, yeah, I got it. $10 pays out $2,091.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. That's not bad.
All right, $2,091.
We've had worse.
Do we like this one or no? Is it like just ridiculous?
No.
I like mine. I mean, it's only plus +115, but I'm pretty sure mine's going to hit. I liked it last week, though, too.
It's preseason. I mean,
we always like our picks.
No, sometimes I don't. You just take it because you want the points and you're just grasping a little bit. A guy's going to hit a home run.
You know, if everything does come through,
yeah,
our show Monday, we would have the massive sweat. Because isn't your game on Monday?
Night. Oh.
Yeah, I might have to take a payout.
I need you guys to come through.
You want to buy out?
I need you guys to come through.
I mean, it'll be 4 hours of buyout talk.
Oh, that'd be so silly.
Let's take a break. Phone number's 1-800-636-1067. You want to chime in? We're the Junkies. Coming right back.